Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Oh, yeah. It's a great day. No fooling to take on the cultural cacophony and surround ourselves with great music. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Berkley Show, bringing together a mosaic of voices from the arts, politics, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Word of apology, we were set to do our live April Fool and Fun Show yesterday on April Fool's Day, but yeah, we ran into some snafus regarding cable and power outages, so lots to reschedule in terms of radio shows and segments. Hope you got the social media memo and you're here with us now live on Saturday, April 2nd, 11 a.m. out west, 1 p.m. central, and 2 o'clock here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Facebook page, pop in the chat box if you're joining us on the live ride, and Twitter is at 24/7 Tango. At AB Wright, Saul being helmed by the talented Ever Ready TCF crew, Trudy, Aurora in the booth, MLN headquarters. Show brought to you in part by Old Navy. It's time to spring forward for great styles and savings at Old Navy. PopNet, too, with arts, culture, and conversation on air, online, up and running 24/7, featuring select editions of the Amy Beth Berkley Show and those robust roundtables. So lots of folks doing foolish things this past week, enough to form a chain of fools. Let's get going. Let's get talking on the Amy Beth Berkley Show.
Change, 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 change You sound insane. Do you realize that?
Question on the Amy Beth Darkley Show for Hannah, and a happy belated birthday to Diana Ross, 78 Supreme candles on her cake on March 26th, indeed. Won't get fooled again, The Who for Dondi. Johnny Fever sang over, and Shay Hardy, your regulars all listening live, and you know how much I love that, and Chain of Fools from the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, for Bryn and Toby. Indeed, we've got lots of fools to talk about and take on. The Oscar slap heard around the world. We're still talking about it, you're right. Some folks are sick of it, but, you know, there's a reason, because we have to talk about the culture and the lack of consequences for such bad, outrageous behavior. We'll talk more about that. No supreme concerns for Senator Susan Collins. She's all aboard, the first Republican senator to say she's all aboard the Ketanji Brown-Jackson confirmation train. Supreme Court justice vote will take place, I think, the Judiciary Committee this coming week, and then next week, I believe, will be the entire Senate. She will get in, I believe. Hope there'll be some other reasonable Republicans to follow, looking at Romney, Cassidy, Murkowski, Burr, maybe some others. Not looking at Ben Sasse, unfortunately, I thought there was hopes for him. He said she's an exemplary person, but we have different judicial philosophies, so it's a no-go. To me, that's a cop-out, but you have your right to do what you have to do. Lindsey Graham, of course, had another hissy fit on the Senate floor, so he's a no-go, but let's not go down that road. Speaking of supreme concerns, what's happening with Clarence Thomas and his crazy wacko wife, Ginny, who really, I think, is QAnon crazy at this point, and does she influence her husband or not, and what about the whole Supreme Court and the fact that they don't have ethical restraints the way the rest of the judiciary and the federal government have? I don't get it, and I have a feeling they'll be coming forthwith, or they should be, by Congress and the court itself. We'll have to just keep our eyes on that one. But we'll start with the whole Oscar flap, because a lot of folks are chiming in, still chiming in, and the reason I think it's still important to talk about it, I know there are other bigger issues, but a person displayed such unrestrained bad behavior and didn't face a single consequence on that day, and he should have. the producers should be ashamed of themselves for not kicking him out of that building. I'm so sorry, but it really had to happen. Supposedly they asked him to leave. He refused. Well, you don't ask somebody to leave when they behave like that. You throw them out. Now, the fact that Chris Rock said he didn't want to press charges doesn't matter. Think about getting into a bar fight, say. People, happens all the time. They don't always get arrested, but they could get ejected from the establishment, and that's what should have happened. Instead, he was allowed to go on and on with this lengthy acceptance speech. Ironic as it was, he talked about his reason for being here and what God put him on the earth for and being a vessel for love. He should have rewritten the speech because it didn't really apply after his outrageous behavior. And no apology to Chris Rock until a day or two later. Chris Rock actually taking the high road and proving to be the adult in the room. What did he do? He actually apologized for the joke. It's a lame joke. The man hosted the Oscars in 2016 and was a bomb. I mean, it happens. Comics sometimes tell jokes that don't land. The fact is he supposedly didn't know about Jada Pinkett Smith's battle with alopecia, but does that make a difference? Yeah, he probably wouldn't have told it because I don't think he's an unkind person. But comics are on the edge, and sometimes they do say things, and sometimes it does go over the line. Sometimes they aren't funny, they don't land, whatever. But it's just not right. So the consequences so far are really nothing. They're investigating. They're going to come up with some disciplinary action. He did some preemptive striking by resigning from the Academy, which means he will not be able to vote. I guess maybe, I don't know if it's in perpetuity or he can reapply. They don't have to let him back in. I don't know how that affects his nominations. I don't think it affects, well, of course, they haven't issued their statement on what they're going to do yet. I don't think it affects his Oscar, nor should it, in my opinion. I don't think they should take away the Oscar that he won. That's for the work that was done, not for the behavior that was displayed. And it is one moment in time. I'm not saying he should be voted off the island. I'm not into cancel culture, but there are some consequences, and there were no consequences, and that's why we're still talking about it, I think, to this day. But I know a lot of folks have some things to talk about, so let's get to it and see. Vera says, quoting somebody else, she's quoting, "The spectacle of comedian Chris Rock being assaulted at the Academy Awards by Will Smith reveals something fundamentally wrong, even sick, about American society, overwhelmed as it is with violence and cancel culture." Agree with you completely. As I said, we're talking about it because it was an outrageous act of violence, and we can't just pretend it didn't happen. Or, I mean, first of all, when it did happen, I thought maybe it was a bit. If they turned it into a bit, maybe nobody would know. But since it wasn't, and then he continued to shout from the audience with profanity, he was mad, he was upset, I get it. But you have to learn how to restrain yourself, and it's just unfortunate. The biggest consequence he will have, I will say this, is that he will always have his glorious moment of winning that Oscar, even if he wins another one, which is doubtful or unlikely because most people are not Meryl Streep and don't win, you know, three or four Oscars. But even if he won another one, I mean, it taints that whole experience. I guess over time you can color it in whatever patina you choose, but he did it to himself. He took away his triumph in so many ways, and that's unfortunate. And also, of course, as we're going to continue to talk a little bit about, the things that were overshadowed in the awards show, such as it was. But I agree. And culture, I'm not into canceling. He's not canceled for life, and he can make other movies, and he will, of course. I don't believe that, but there has to be some consequence, and it should have been a consequence that day. That's the problem that I'm having with some of this stuff. It's just ridiculous. Phil says, well, Chris Rock took the high road, and he gets the bonus of the week. Will Smith looks like a dirty dog, and it's not good at all. And a lot of women are particularly outraged about this, if you notice. There's such a thing as, I'm hearing a lot of women talk about the toxic masculinity that is on display. And some folks now saying, well, what about Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, Harvey Weinstein? I don't know about Harvey Weinstein. I'm sure he was part of the Academy. But Woody Allen and Polanski, I don't think, were ever members of the Academy. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if you're asked to join or you apply to join or how that works. But they were not members. But you could still win an award if you're not a member. So just resigning your membership doesn't mean you might not win an award. I don't know. But they have to come up with their own disciplinary actions. This is like a preemptive strike while he resigned before he was booted out. So again, there should be consequences, and there should have been consequences on that day. And frankly, what happened, in my opinion, was it overshadowed the highlights of the show. Now, the show wasn't great to begin with, I don't think. You know, some people are saying, oh, you know, the women who hosted should get lauded. I don't think they did such a great job. They weren't awful, but they weren't great. They certainly weren't anywhere near like a Billy Crystal standard. But some of the things were bad. The In Memoriam was disastrous, not because they tried to make it more of a celebratory with the singers and dancers. It was just so distracting. And for the television audience, they didn't focus on the screen where the people that passed away that we were supposed to celebrate. I had to look that up on YouTube to see what they had. And at the end, they did do something that they didn't ever done in the past, where they said, for more people that we lost, go to some and their link. Because every year, there's always some people they omit, and people get mad about it. But there were some interesting moments, and certainly Coda winning the best picture and best supporting actor. was a big thing for the deaf community and very moving. A film that very few people saw because it was streamed on Apple TV. And if you don't have Apple TV, you couldn't see it. So that's part of the problem with the Oscars. A lot of people don't see these films. And I think Jessica Chastain, who did a magnificent job in The Eyes of Tammy Faye, one of the few that I did see, won for Best Actress and offered a very touching speech about the LGBTQ community and people feeling different and wanted to be, you know, for inclusion, unconditional love. That was overshadowed. And, of course, the Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli moment, which I thought was beautiful. Again, showing the vessel of love in practice, compassion in action, as I would call it, as opposed to what went on before. But would people be talking about anything? Would people be watching? Because the Oscars have gone downhill in terms of ratings. And part of it is just the nature of the way we watch TV now. I mean, in the old days, people watched it was must-see TV. Now people watch TV on demand and whenever, and, of course, it, you don't have to sit through the whole boring ceremony to get the highlights because you can see them on social media, you can see them on YouTube after the fact. So that's part of it. And they don't see all these movies. That's also part of it. So it's a whole mixture of things that added up to that. But I do think the consequences, the lack of consequences, does exemplify what this country has been doing the last several years since we had a president who was allowed to get away with all kinds of things with impunity and still is to this day, Donald Trump, who right now is actually has the nerve, the audacity to sit down with some, I don't know what it was, some right-wing YouTube show or something, podcast kind of show, and actually talk about Vladimir Putin should reveal dirt on Hunter Biden in the middle of Vladimir Putin waging war against Ukraine and committing what looks like war crimes on a daily basis for the last 30 days. How can a former president, how can anybody with any patriotic intentions talk about let's dig up some dirt on somebody like he did, how he got impeached the first time, digging up dirt on the Biden. So, I mean, it's just outrageous behavior, but it goes off without impunity because here we are waiting for charges, waiting for something. The January 6th committee putting Merrick Garland's feet to the fire and demanding action, but nothing's happening. And the clock is ticking because this committee will probably go nowhere, will go bye-bye, rather, come January of 2023 if everybody, including the Democrats, are already conceding defeat that they're going to lose the midterms, which I personally have to say, stop doing that and start working on enthusiasm. They talk about the enthusiasm gap between Democrats and Republicans. Well, yeah, Democrats are not enthusiastic because everything hasn't gotten done, but everything hasn't gotten done because we don't have Democrats in office. You can't blame Joe Biden. He can't get some things through if you don't have more than a 50-50 Senate, and you have two that are obstructionists. You need 55. You need 60. You need to vote for more Democrats, not less. You don't need to stay home because if the Republicans take over, it'll be a lot less that you'll be getting that you want. That's how you have to look at it. Doesn't mean keep pushing what you want, but you got to push what you want when you have people in office who can help you do it. So I'm going to keep saying that and stop conceding defeat and the media going along with this notion that nothing is good and the Democrats are losing ground. We just had a great jobs report. I know inflation is high and people are hurting in that regard, but more and more people are employed. The pandemic is under control for the most part. Still, you have to be careful. We understand surges are possible, and people, I'm one that's concerned about the lax rules and all that, but do what you think is best for you and your family. But we've got to push the enthusiasm numbers up, in my opinion. That's what I said. Anybody else on the Oscars? Dan says the Academy isn't ever going to get their old huge audience back, at least not until movies like Kramer versus Kramer become mass audience must-watch features again. Now, however, the Oscars are in danger of losing their hardcore 10 million fans due to the show that disrespects them, not smart idea. Okay, now I'm not sure what you're implying or what they disrespect about it, but you're right. We don't have all those touchstone blockbusters like we once did, and again, we watch TV in a different way, so that's the problem. Good for Chris Rock. He came out looking like the adult in the room, and somebody had to do it, so says Brendan. I agree with that. So we're rocking your boat, Chris. A couple of folks want to hear this one. From the Hughes Corporation, from Ollie, and for Wynn. I need a good corporation. Wynn.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion. Your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
And I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion. So I'd like to know the notion, said I'd like to know where you got the notion, so I'd like to know where you got the notion, said I'd like to know where you got the notion. Rock the boat,
don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat,
don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat,
don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat,
don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad breath.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad breath.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad breath.
Rock the boat.
Roll yeah, roll yeah.
Rock the boat.
Roll yeah, roll yeah.
Rock the boat. Rock the boat. Rock the boat.
Sometimes I forget things. I call it the fuzzies. the whole world crying. But I didn't see. That the joke was on me. Oh no, I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me.
Thank you.
only joking. Indigo Girl is on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. We can nod to Betty. Thank you so much for chiming in with some wonderful words via the PopNet chat box. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And what else did we hear from? We heard from the Bee Gees, of course. I Started a Joke. What a classic. That one, a shout-out to Wendy. And a couple of songs in honor of the slap that was. Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar. Rock and Roll nominee. I think she might make it this year. We'll see. And the Hughes Corporation, Rock the Boat, in honor of Chris Rock being the stand-up guy that he was throughout that whole situation. For Molly, also for Stuart, and for Lonnie. I'll be happy to have you guys aboard. Love to play with you in real time. Don't forget all the shows are archived for podcasts. Follow the Into the Dark We Show wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen when it works for you. Meanwhile, weigh in anything, everything on your mind. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Should you find yourself joining us live for the Saturday, April 2nd ride, we have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box available too. Mike, PopNet chat box, yeah, you're so right. We have to talk about it because it is about consequences, not canceling the guy. He'll still make millions of dollars and make movies, but you're right. He should have been booted out of that show that day. Yeah, exactly. He shouldn't have been asked to leave and refused. I guess they knew he was going to win. But still, a lot of people win the awards and can't make it for whatever reason, whether it's illness or they're shooting on location, and somebody else just accepts it. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda won for a song or soundtrack or something, and he couldn't make it because his wife had COVID and he was taking a precautionary bow out. And somebody accepted for him. So it happens, and it should have happened in this case. It was disgraceful. They didn't handle it right at all. Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. Anybody else chiming in on this or anything else? On the Oscar, on the slap, Zoe says he resigned first before he could be kicked out because he was trying to like break up with you first before you get me. That's what he said. Plus, he wants to be a great person of the world. Good luck with that. Yeah, listen, I don't want to condemn people because of one bad action. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad person, but he did something bad, something outrageous. It needs to be addressed. It's something which symbolizes, again, how our culture has become coarsened and devolved into this, you know, lack of impulse control. You have to have impulse control, whether he has psychological reasons for this. I know people are reading from his autobiography where he talks about when his father beat his mother. All of these things may play into it. And Chris Rock has been open about the fact that he was bullied as a kid and he has trauma too. Everybody has something. But as an adult, you have to respond in kind. You have to restrain yourself. You can still get therapy and people can have empathy for you. And I do. And I have empathy for him. And I'm not canceling him and kicking him off the island. I don't believe in any of that anyway. There's always redemption. But there still has to be consequences. And he should have been tossed off and tossed out that night. And that's up to the Academy and the people, the producers of the show and everybody else. I know it's a split-second decision. You don't have that much time to make it, but it should have been made. And now they're still, you know, dragging their feet on consequences, and he resigned as a preemptive strike, I think is doesn't say much, but we'll see what happens. But people have to know there are consequences because the world is watching, and kids are watching, and everybody's taking their lead. And I still think it goes back to some of the reality show culture that we've been immersed in for many, many years now, but particularly became very corrosive during the Trump years because we had a guy in that office who got away with everything and is still getting away with it, as I said. It's impunity. He's not being charged, and he was involved. I can't believe people don't realize how involved he was in this January 6th insurrection, which is what it was, a coup attempt, and how, as a federal judge said earlier this week, that Trump was probably guilty of crimes, using the word crimes, and if people are not brought to account for these crimes, we're going to likely see this again, and we will. They're rigging it in plain sight, so I know there is you know, the so-called enthusiasm gap in a head-to-head recent poll between Biden and Trump. It's Trump 48% and Biden 45%. I find that outrageous. The people will actually give a criminal, a corrupt criminal who did so much damage to this country another chance in office. I don't understand it. There's something wrong there. I'm not saying that's how it's going to play out, and it shouldn't play out that way. And people who are going to sit on their hands and say, well, I didn't get everything I want, so I'm not going to bother. Again, I keep saying this, and I'll keep saying it until it's really boring, because it is very urgent. You have to vote for a Democrat if you want to see action happen. You can't blame Biden for everything if he doesn't have enough support behind him in the House and Senate. But think about the things he has done. The Democrats have to get a message. What is happening? The job numbers are up. You got the COVID relief package. You have the child tax credit. Unfortunately, that's going by the wayside, and that should be more permanent for those people who need it, not for everybody, but those who need it. And you shouldn't have people standing in the way of that. Democrat or Republican, people should be ashamed of that. And the COVID relief package, by the way, not one single Republican voted for it, but now they're going in and they're praising it to their constituents to say, here, we're going to get some, we're going to have, and the infrastructure bill, the same thing. We're going to have opportunities here for you. But I didn't vote for it. It doesn't make sense. think about that as Kevin McCarthy is getting ready to become Speaker of the House or whomever it winds up. It might be Jim Jordan. Who knows? With a crazier QAnon-type caucus entering the fray. It's crazy to me. I don't know about you, but it's crazy to me. JT says, if you're one of those individuals that accepts the January 6th insurrection, beating police officers, the 600,000 COVID deaths, the Trump coup attempt, but are hurt because President Biden said that killer psychopath Putin shouldn't be in power, then you're a gullible fool. And he posts along with it a Stephen Beschloss comment. The journalist and historian who says, this is not a president, this is a gangster relishing the use and abuse of power. This is not a leader, this is a criminal, a malignant hustler who's using the occupation of our White House to feed his ego and run roughshod over the morals and ideals that have inspired the world. Indeed, you want to give that guy another chance? I don't get it, but some of his fans have fooled around and they fell in love with this guy.
Once again, you've fallen for one of my classic pranks.
We'll be right back.
Just a Fool for the City. Sagat on the Amy Beth Arguey Show for Andy. Haven't heard that one in a while. Guess it qualifies. That's a forgotten 45. And we also heard from Paul McCartney going solo and doing a great version of Fool on the Hill. And Elvin Bishop fooled around and fell in love. Winking a nod to Nixie. We're not fooling around. Well, we kind of are. Hey, a quick shout-out to Gavin, Montclair, New Jersey, who is our Inspiration to Action Challenge success story this week. He writes, thank you so much. Love your show. Very invigorating, interesting, and unique. Great music, too, but I love your perspective and the challenge. Gave me, as you call it, the creative kick in the keister I needed. Writing and painting again. Not sure where it goes, but as you always say, the process is everything. Indeed, I do. Fall in love with the process, you can't lose. And you know what, Gavin? Something good's going to come, I promise you. Please keep us posted. Inspiration Action, if it's worked for you, please reach out and let us know because you deserve a shout-out, but you're also spiriting other folks on. On the other hand, you need a little bit of that creative kick in the keister. Let's start a creativity coaching, counseling conversation. First one is always on me. Give me about 2 to 3 weeks to connect via the website, amybethearkawy, A-R-K-A-W-Y.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. Hey, while you're there, peruse my stories, the award-winning Eliza Gordon Mysteries. Other goodies are available, too. And you can chime in with guest suggestions, big story, forgotten 45 requests. Yes, we have links to the podcast and social media connections, one-stop shopping at the website, amybethearkawy.com. Mm-hmm, indeed. One final time around the social media horn before we sashay out of here. Lots of folks chiming in. Oh, I'm so thrilled. You know how I love it when you guys play with me in real time. I just do. It's just so much fun. Hey, Jill, when Freddie links a tweet from Jill Weinbangs, who was one of the Watergate prosecutors, and you know, sometimes she's on MSNBC. She also does the Sisters in Crime podcast with a couple of co-hosts. Joyce Vance and Barbara McQuaid and another gal, I forgot her name. Anyway, but she writes that it took us less than 10 months from our appointment and less than a year from discovery of evidence of a cover-up to indict in Watergate. January 6th evidence is over 1 year old. Plus, unless they're indicting Meadows for a substantive crime, the contempt charge should have been filed already. Indeed, what is Merrick Garland doing? Doug on Potna Chatbox says, you're so right, Merrick Garland has to get off his duff and do something ASAP. What is he waiting for? Democracy is weighing in the balance. Mm-hmm, indeed. And again, I keep emphasizing, let's not give up hope that the Democrats can lose everything in the House. Maybe if we hold the House, we can keep this committee together. But and the DOJ continues beyond the committee, but you know they're going to start all kinds of erroneous, bogus investigations and so forth that will clog up time and energy. So let's get going. And I want to see those hearings. Supposedly they're supposed to start at some point this spring. I would like to see those live hearings from the committee because people have to see what's going on. They showed live evening session when they voted to hold Dan Scavino and Peter Navarro, two aides from Trump's White House, who refused to show up to answer for their subpoenas. Interestingly enough, Navarro already wrote a book. I thought it's like Meadows. They write a book. You can put it in a book and make money for it, but you can't come in and do your civic duty and testify before Congress. What are you hiding? Because you can lie in a book and not go to jail, I guess. You can't lie before Congress, technically. But I'm sure many people have. Anyway, but they got to hold those hearings. And it was compelling to see, and they did talk about why these folks should be held in contempt. But let's see the hearings with people actually testifying to the American people in live, real time. Prime time will be great in the evenings. Again, it's not like Watergate, because back in 1974, we only had the three channels and PBS and maybe a local, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't the way it is now, with everybody in their silos and echo chambers and internet and streaming channels. So you're not going to get as many people, but you will get some. And you might get some who are on the fence, some people who really need to see and are willing to hear the truth. You know, again, get out of your silos and see what's going on the other channels. It's alarming to see what's going on at Fox, and they're still spewing all kinds of propaganda with Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and not as much Hannity, but some of that. I don't get it. I don't understand what's in it for these people. Are they that cynical and that craven, and that's all it's about? It's shocking, and it's nuts. Dwight on Twitter says about Ginny Thomas, if she could dictate to the White House the center of American power, can you imagine how she deals with this little weakling of a man? He's compromised and definitely a liability on the court. He must go or at the very least recuse himself. Interestingly enough, again, a lot of people are calling for – he won't resign. We know that. But he should recuse himself on all these matters regarding January 6th, anything that relates to his wife. I mean, it doesn't matter in terms of the decision when he was the only dissenting vote, and vote, not opinion. He didn't offer an opinion. He just voted against releasing the archival Trump information from January 6th to the committee. Everybody else voted to do it, so it wasn't consequential. But he should recuse himself. He just really should. And they should have ethical standards that are clear and written down somewhere. They do for every other branch of the, every other level of the judiciary. The federal judiciary and states have their own. why they don't for the Supreme Court. They're just so above it they can do their own thing. It's ridiculous. John Roberts should get on this, and the Congress should get on this. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It just is. No matter who they are, they should not be. That puts them really way above the law, if you know what I mean. And she's been crazy to begin with. As Julia said, remember when she was stalking Anita Hill years later with those phone calls? Yeah, crazy phone calls. This woman has been out there for 30-plus years crazy as he's been on the court. And it may be consequential, and people should be talking about that. You know, I saw the meme this week. They put the coup in couple, you know, C-O-U-P, yeah. And it's true. It's just, it's nutty. Insurrection as a couple, Jenny and Clarence Thomas, and there's a picture of them in that ridiculous shaman's getup. Unbelievable indeed. Thank you, Christopher, for that. Very interesting. But you got to see visual. You got to see visual. Anybody else before we sashay out of here on the Oscars? Anything else? I think we're cutting it. We're done. Are we done? Oh, January 6th. Yes, I wish, Frida says, I wish Merrick Garland would do his job. I'm hoping for those live hearings, and I hope they have an impact. I'm doubtful. I'm worried about the midterms. But you keep working on the enthusiasm, because I will too. Let's go. Don't give up the Democrats. And Joe Biden is fabulous as president. Yeah, I think he's a good man trying to do a hard job, and I don't understand why he is so low in the polls. I mean, I know inflation is high, but the job reports are out. The Democrats have to get better on messaging, and they've got to sell it. That's the Lincoln Project people help us. They're better at selling message and getting people online. But I will just say this. Don't be unenthusiastic. Get out there and vote, and the more numbers you have, the better your chances. And still push for what you want and push for more progressive aims. I'm not dissuading that. But you're not going to get it with the Republicans, and you know that. So keep that in mind. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML headquarters, for keeping us moving. I love playing with you guys in real time. Don't forget, all the shows are archived for podcast. Please come back and see us. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Vax and mask when you can, and come see us on the Amy Beth Arkowy Show. We'll leave you with a little Fool in the Rain, even though it's sunny and chilly in my neck of the woods. Led Zeppelin, of course. Winding down another edition of the Amy Beth Arkowy Show. You know I love you all. Take care.